the Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionics Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionics Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Welcome to the Radio Today programme. So on this edition, we're looking back at 12 months of Times Radio. What's it been like for the team launching and establishing a brand new speech station, especially within the constraints of the global pandemic? To look back at the first 12 months of Times Radio, the Radio Academy hosted an online event for its members, and they've kindly shared some of that discussion with us here at Radio Today. You'll hear from Matt Deegan from Folder Media and Fun Kids. He led the hour-long conversation, and he started off with the programme director, Tim, on where the station sits in the radio landscape.
You know, somewhere between Radio 4, 5 Live, LBC, you know, because there is a sort of sweet spot that we're trying to occupy. So clearly at breakfast, we need to have a credible breakfast show that people will see as an alternative to, let's say, 5 Live Breakfast on the State programme or Nick Brawley. And so in other words, it's not like I'm a bit bored of that thing, I'm going to listen to this for 15 minutes as a sort of a change of scene and then go back to the mothership. We've got to have people who feel like it's a wholly credible service that's comprehensive, that will, in the case of breakfast, set you up for the day with what you need to know. At the same time, it is also true that we looked at where could we program things to take advantage of what other stations aren't doing. So a good example of that would be in Matt's show, and perhaps I knew this quite well because I was editor of Emma Barnett's show on 5 Live, of course. I knew that time slot quite well. No one is doing just a comprehensive news roundup at midday. And I've always thought that was a good slot. So we built in a midday update from Matt Jordan's show from 12 to 12:30, which is like a roundup, Times correspondence. And it's actually, what's interesting is that, and we might talk about listening, but you know, I can see a bit of online listening. And I know that that's drawing in an audience. So there's a degree to which we're thinking, on the one hand, we've got to do a credible thing at the same time as other stations are doing the similar thing, which is just frustrating. But the other times we can go in with something that's really strong when they're not doing that sort of thing.
Sure. Okay. I'll just pop in Aisha. Poppy, for you, you've got kind of a journalism and TV background. This is kind of your first kind of major radio role producing Matt, which is the mid-morning show. What suddenly made you think, let's leave the junior medium of television and come over to radio?
For me, I think sort of journalistically, the medium was not necessarily the thing that I was interested in. But I was working on Question Time, which I absolutely love. I think it's such an important programme. But I've been there for quite a while. And I sort of looked around at the other programmes that were sort of politics-y. I just thought, well, I'm not sure any of these are quite as much fun as the thing I'm already doing. And actually, as Tim said earlier, quite rightly, so I was sort of looking at anything, and as I say, kind of not about the medium. And I saw there's this Times Radio thing. I don't know what that is. There's just chat about it in some papers and some diaries. And, something about John Pina. Oh, that's kind of interesting. So I applied on a bit of a whim, really, also thinking, well, I've never worked in radio, so this isn't going to go anywhere. But then Tim gave me a phone and said, did I want to make a programme with Matt Chorley? Because at that point, I knew, obviously, you know, I've been kind of doing Westminster stuff for quite a few years. I knew who he was and, you know, read Red Box every day, listen to the podcast. And I just thought, I know exactly what this programme is going to be. And like immediately I thought this is going to be so distinctive, and this is definitely something I'm going to be able to make. And I think, I didn't know Matt, but I think he's got kind of such a character that it was very easy to see what it is that we'd want to do. And I just thought, yeah, absolutely. And you know, when are you ever going to be allowed to run riot with 3 hours of radio formatting? I mean, that's just unbelievable, isn't it? Like what a privilege.
I guess what's interesting is obviously strong political background, obviously radio listener as well. Do you think it was easier to set up a new show from scratch without having a load of radio stuff in the back of your head?
100%. 100%.
And I think obviously it's similar for Matt as well, because he's fresh to this too.
And, you know, he's done podcasting and he's done stand-up comedy, and so has a kind of a flair for, you know, fun ideas and kind of being a charismatic personality. But I think, and I hadn't really thought about this until quite recently, but so we're both sort of kind of politics nerds really at heart. But really what we quite like in radio, and I think we never really talked about this, but like we both really like music radio. And whenever we talk about things that we really like, it's always silly formats from old bits of music radio that we used to listen to. And I think what we've accidentally made, and I think yeah, we couldn't have done this if either of us had done kind of any amount of current affairs radio, is that we'd taken the elements of silly formats that we like, but instead of playing music, we talked to interesting people about politics in between. And I love that. And it's that kind of energy which says, you know, do we have license to be a bit silly? Yes. But as you know, as long as we're matching that with kind of really credible political stuff, this is going to work. And I think it's really nice. And I think as well, that kind of lends itself as a sort of tone shift away from, as Tim was saying, a sort of proper, thorough breakfast show. Yeah.
I mean, for people who haven't heard it, I mean, there's quite a lot of formatted features in there, aren't
yeah.
there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I mean, things that sort of stick out for me is when you do Prime Minister's Questions, you sort of listen to it and then you pause it, a bit like a Sky Plusing it. You pause, have a discussion, and then unpause it to carry on. So you drift away from it being kind of live.
Yeah.
But then you get kind of commentary from Matt and guests. And I think that's a really interesting different way of doing it. I mean, have you been looking out for those sorts of things?
Yeah, so I think I've been thinking about the PMQs thing for a while, mainly because I think I was one of probably very few political journalists who watched PMQs every week without having to do anything about it. Unlike anybody who had to write it up or then turn it into a story for the next day or was, you know, making a programme about it on a different radio station. We used to sit in our meeting and we just watch it and then we'd talk about, you know, shout at the telly and stuff. After 4 years of doing that, I just thought, this is impenetrable. Unless you know what they're on about from the get-go, why would anybody ever listen to this? We're all nerds in this room, and this can be either dull or impenetrable or just not worth the time. And by the time you get to the end of it, having someone say, oh, well, it's interesting on that first question, you just think, well, I don't even remember what that first question was. I've got nothing going on here. But I sort of thought, do you know what's really good? The bit in the football where they replay a bit of goal and say, look at that run and look at that shot. And I was like, could you do that for radio and could you do it for politics? You know, big thank you to Tim for letting us take a big risk with something that is a really established bit of the week and saying, okay, pilot this very hard. And if it's rubbish, it's not going ahead.
Is there always a worry that it becomes a bit too nerdy and a bit too Westminster? Is that kind of in your mind?
No, because I think, well, from my background, obviously it was a programme that travels the country talking to normal people about politics. So that's like, it's just the thing I care about most of all is what people care about and why they care about it and how they interact with politics. So that's like the number one thing. And we're basically a big fan of doing anything regional, anything that gets you out of Westminster, anything that is about the implication of something. But I think Matt also has a real knack of asking very friendly, very listener-friendly questions to people about topics. So it's not, tell me, minister, is this the wrong thing? It'll just be like, okay, so you did this job. You know, literally, what was that like? And you're going to get a better, more interesting answer from that, I think, in a way that brings people along. So I have to, you know, I don't think it's a huge worry. Also, I think because while we do lots of politics, we make sure that the bits that aren't politics are varied. As Tim said, we've got 3 hours of radio a day. Actually, you can't, unless you're doing straight bad news, you really aren't going to get 3 hours of politics out of every programme. And actually, we found there's lots of stuff that we really like covering that isn't that.
That's really interesting. Aisha, you've sort of been at this from all sides, really. I mean, we're talking about PMQs there. Used to be involved in prepping prime ministers and leaders of the opposition to answer them. What do you think about the idea of stopping it halfway through and chatting about it? Is it just an extension of what you used to do in the office?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love it. And I'm a real PMQs nerd. In fact, I wrote a book about PMQs with my ex-colleague Tom Hamilton called Punch and Judy Politics. So I think it works brilliantly. And I really like the kind of, because when I used to watch PMQs in the gallery and the sort of like benches where the advisors sit in the press gallery, we would have a quick kind of chat with each other saying, well, I wonder, you know, come back with this line, or, you know, where's he going to go on this? And you start mapping out in your head which way the sort of trajectory of the argument's going to go. So I love it. And I think Poppy's analogy of, you know, a football replay is absolutely spot on, because I think, you know, I'm not even into football that much, but I love watching football commentating. I think the way they do it is brilliant. And I think it would be great to make politics commentating a bit more like that, make it a bit more accessible, replay things, explain things. You know, some of the jokes about football commentary is that everything is incredibly basic, from it's a game of two halves to if they'd scored more goals they would have won. But sometimes you kind of do need like a bit of a sort of noddy's guide to stuff. to make it accessible.
So you've obviously done lots of broadcasting, telly and radio. You've got a day job at the Evening Standard. What made you decide to give up your weekends and come and be on Times Radio?
Well, I think out of everything I do, I just do love radio. I think there's a real intimacy to it. I mean, I really enjoyed doing TV as well, but there's something kind of, you do have more freedom with radio. You definitely get more space. And when I heard about Times Radio and came in to have some conversations with the team, the thing that sort of, I think, piqued my interest was that one of the things I was getting quite frustrated about, and this is particularly at the end of a very long, grueling 5 years covering things like the Scottish, well, taking part in the Scottish referendum debate, then Brexit, you know, we'd become very raw and very angry. We still are. And I was conscious that a lot of the broadcasting around politics was this kind of fight to the death, like, you know, you've got sort of 3 minutes, go, like contenders ready. It was sort of like political gladiators. And I quite like the idea of quite an intelligent politics heavy station, which was not based on just total conflict to get that viral clip. And I felt that was something that was really missing from the sort of political landscape in terms of media. So that's one of the reasons why I was quite attracted to it. And at the beginning, when, you know, that was the kind of pitch of Times Radio, I was sort of thinking, is this too good to be true? Is it really going to be like this? Is it really going to have the space? And absolutely. I mean, one of the things that Tim is very clear about, the, you know, setting the tone of the station, is you're not there to have a punch up with people. You have to give people a fair interview and a robust interview and a challenging interview. But it's also got to be something which is warm and funny and, you know, allow people the space. And I genuinely think we have stayed true to that original mission statement. And I think that's one of the reasons why the station has actually established itself quite quickly in, you know, quite a cynical audience. You know, people that tune into Times Radio, they know their onions, they know their politics, they're quite sniffy. But this is something that they actually really like about the station. It's very informed, it's very intelligent, but you're not going to have some horrible gratuitous punch up for the sake of it.
So, but is this, Tim, just this sort of liberal dream that we have, you know, in a polite place to be, you know, discussing things properly? Surely all the data shows, and you can talk to your colleagues down the way at Talk Radio, arguments, culture wars, it's what gets people excited, gets them calling in, gets them motivated to keep listening. Isn't it a danger going the other way?
There is a risk. I think that's true. You know, I think the perfect radio is a balance of heat and light. And I think and I think that what you want is, you don't want a station that's just all heat, but you don't also want something that's all light without a bit of passion. Mm. And actually, that's something I've, you know, even the last few weeks, we talk about how we run things, but I do regular, you know, weekly team meetings. And I talked recently about, you know, getting guests on who've got passion, who've got fire in their belly about what they want to talk about, even if it's a sort of a dry topic. So I think that's right. It's got to be lively. But I think also it's got to be, you know, you said, it's very interesting you said that, it's a liberal dream. I think, you know, what's interesting is that the listeners who get in touch with us, they love two things in particular. They love the fact that we give guests space to talk, as we've just said, and our presenters listen to what they've said and then ask questions that are based on that. One of the phrases we started using is conversation, not confrontation. It's the fact that we give people space to think, and they really like that. But the other thing is that they like the fact that we're fair to all sides, and we're fair to, you know, people on the left wing of politics, and we're fair and give a fair hearing to people on the right wing of politics. So is it a liberal dream? I think it's a it's a dream to people of all political persuasions, because we are listening to those political views of every colour and just taking them seriously, engaging with them. And so we get a lot, you know, Times readers, you know, get in touch and say, I find it refreshing because you're taking my politics seriously.
Okay, some questions from the audience. A question from Jeff, maybe one for you, Aisha. What's been the most memorable moment on air over the past year?
Oh, definitely when Joe Biden was declared the winner, because I was actually interviewing a very angry Donald Trump supporter going, it's not true. Donald Trump is still president. I was like, I'm just going to have to, really sorry to interrupt you, because CNN have just declared it. And she was going, don't cut me off, don't cut me off. So that probably, and it was just a kind of shock. It was like, wow, has this actually happened. So that was definitely memorable. There was a very funny incident as well the other day when my co-presenter, Grant Tucker, who comes in and helps me do the culture, we were interviewing this amazing drag queen who was talking about her mother. And Grant said, "God, she sounds amazing. I can't wait to meet her." And then there's a silence. She went, "She passed away a while ago." But we just laughed. It was very funny. It was very funny.
Poppy, what's been your highlights of the year so far?
Honestly, loads. I think probably we do a text in every day and it's never, "What do you think of the news?" It's always like, "Send us a ridiculous pun. I don't know, COVID secure songs to get jabbed to." I don't know, whatever. They're all really, really mad and silly, and we play some music and sometimes they take off in a way that you don't expect and you're just crying in the control room because the listeners are so funny and you just think this is wonderful. So I think every time you do one of those, you just feel it's a lovely way to know that people are listening and also that people are very silly, even if they love the news. It's great.
Thanks, guys. You can see the full replay of Times Radio's fascinating story at radioacademy.org. It's free to all members of the Radio Academy. And don't forget to take a look at the other events they're putting on, including a session on how to win a Station of the Year award with the team at Magic Radio, and details of the summer socials that are coming up as well.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa.